by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Purport. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavats are competent remedies, and both of them or either of them can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavat, the book, and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality, Srila Narada Deva. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress. On and on. This verse and purport was just a few days ago the subject of the class at Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir of ISKCON Vrindavan. I happened to be present. At the end of the class came up a frequently asked question. Why is it stated that all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed? Why not completely destroyed by hearing the Bhagavatam? Does this suggest that it's an incorrect or incomplete process? I wasn't giving the class, but I offered the suggestion that this verse is actually in a series of verses. So it describes the ongoing, the first effect of hearing regularly Srimad Bhagavatam is that the heart will be cleansed of all inauspicious, the cleansing process. Then, in the next verse it's stated, tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadayastriye cheta etayana vidhang stitang sattve prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sanshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani drishta eva atmanishvare. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. So, this is discussing Hare Krishna. These verses are discussing how the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam from genuine source gradually becomes free from all inauspicious things within the heart and becomes established in transcendental knowledge. So this becoming free from the troublesome things in the heart and being established in transcendental knowledge is the necessary prerequisite for being eligible to receive the ultimate benefit of Bhagavatam, which is not simply to become free from troublesome things in the heart, but that one's heart should be filled with those things which are actually dear to the heart, which is the subject matter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The essence of the Bhagavatam, as is stated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhurja Bhagavata Sa. Sweetness is the essence of the Bhagavatam. And Madhurja in Gauriya Vaishnava terminology specifically refers to the very sweet pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and especially those with the Gopikas. So this is the actual essence of Bhagavatam. But no one can understand this essence of Bhagavatam unless the heart is cleansed from all troublesome things, namely, as stated, what are those troublesome things? Rajastamo bhava, being situated in the lower modes of material nature. Kama lobhada, lobhadiya, means kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, the often stated enemies within the heart. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, madness and envy. So as long as these things are there within the heart, then kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, adi, abhishta, eshab, na, chari, kishe, pabe, radha, Krishna, bhakti, rag, thakur, gives the rhetorical question that as long as we are absorbed in these unwanted things, troublesome things, then how can we attain to Radha and Krishna? In other words, it's not possible. Srila Narottam Das Thakur suggests the same in his well-known song, beginning Goranga Balite Hobe, which points towards, first of all, the cleansing of the heart, and then the heart becomes a fit place for hearing about and contemplating Radha and Krishna. He says, Goranga Balite Hobe Pulaka Shari Hari Hari Balite Nayane Babe Nir. That he, first of all, speaks of the perfectional stage, that simply by chanting the name of Gauranga, when shall that day be, that the hairs of my body will stand on end, and by chanting the name Hari, tears will flow from the eyes. Then he also asks, Ar kabe nitai chande karuna hoibe, shangshara bhashanam or kabe tucha hobe. When will I get the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? And the symptom of that mercy is that one will be free from desires for enjoying this material world. Karuna hoibe shangshara. Or they will, such desires will appear to me as very insignificant. Bishoy charya kabe, when I'll give up all material engagements, then the mind will become purified. Shuddha hobe man, tobe hama herabo Sri Vrindavan. Then we can actually see Vrindavan. Otherwise, it is not possible. to see or experience Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti. When I have eagerness for the lotus feet of Rupa Raghunath, then Tabe Hama Bujbo Shri Jugal Priti. Then I can understand the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahumora Ash Pratana Karoi Shada Narotamadas. So he says that always desiring to attain to the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, Narottam Das always prays in this way, or my aspiration to attain to the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. So this parallels the progression which is described in these verses here. How one has to hear the Bhagavatam and serve the great devotees. The great devotees, the great acharyas, they give us commentaries so that we can understand the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada always emphasized that we have to, he would say that the person Bhagavat is more important than the book Bhagavat. Now actually, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it refers to these two kinds of Bhagavats. Ek Bhagavata Baro Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. Chaitanya Charitamrita states that there are two kinds of Bhagavats, and among them the greatest is the book Bhagavat, and the other is the person Bhagavat. But Prabhupada always used to stress that the person Bhagavat is more important than the book Bhagavat. So how do we understand this? Well, actually, one godbrother of mine told me that he asked Prabhupada this, that how are we to understand that the book Bhagavat is more important than the book Bhagavat? So Prabhupada replied, because he can pull your ear. So we have to hear, and if you're not hearing, he might pull your ear. So how is this to be understood? Bhagavat, the most important Bhagavat according to Chaitanya Charitamrita is the person Bhagavat. Sorry, the book Bhagavat. Because the book Bhagavat defines the person Bhagavat. One is known as a Bhagavat or a devotee by following the book Bhagavat. It's not that the book has to be revised according to the whim of someone who calls himself a Bhagavat. Rather, the person Bhagavat means a follower of one who is knowledgeable in, and one who is completely absorbed in the message of Bhagavatam. Shabde pare cha nishnatam. Guru, one of the definitions is one who is immersed in the Vedic sounds. It's not that anyone can just say, well, I'm a devotee and what I say is authoritative because I'm a devotee. That is the mistake of the upper sampradayas. Just like in Gujarat, there's this Swami Narayan upper sampradaya, and they have two books. One is called Shikshapatri and the other is Vachanamritam. So these are the teachings of the so-called Swami Narayan. And he says to worship Radha Krishna and this and that, and apparently he said he declared himself to be Krishna. So, and these are the main books, but if we're to worship Krishna, we should go to the accepted shastras for worshipping Krishna. Why just because he says? And what he says should be in line with shastra. Then we can accept what he says. Just like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, their books are considered authoritative because they're fully based on Shastra. Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find there are so many pramans given there from Shastra, especially from Srimad Bhagavatam. Now in Vedic culture, Guru Vachan is considered as good as Ved Vani. But that is only so, this point is very much misunderstood, that this is only so if the Guru Vachan is in line with Vedavani. If the Guru Vachan is contrary to Vedavani, then that such a guru is not to be accepted as guru, because the only qualification of a guru is to speak according to Shastra, act according to Shastra. Achinoti yashastrani acharya stapyate api swayam acharate yasmad acharya stena kirtitaha. The definition of an acharya is one who acts according to Shastra, makes others act according to Shastra, and in this way establishes the message of Shastra in society. He teaches by his behavior, which is according to Shastra. So, because this point is not understood in modern society, therefore so many bogus persons are able to flourish, who could not have flourished previously. So many persons promote themselves, or they give some teachings, and they mix up some words from the Upanishads and this and that, but they don't establish the principle to their disciples, which they should do from the very beginning, that guru means who is representative of Shastra, means representative of Krishna, because the Shastra is only meant for understanding Krishna. But foolish people follow someone with some charisma, and in this way they are cheated. So it's actually very important to establish in human society what is the importance of following Shastra. Previously in Indian society, this was a given. Everyone just accepted this. But nowadays, Indian people themselves, when we quote Shastra, they say, oh, why should we follow Shastra? And they may not be asking in a challenging way, but they just don't understand the principle, because it's never been taught to them. And therefore, modern Hinduism is such a great hodgepodge, because they don't understand this principle of following Shastra. So to get back to that point of book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat, Prabhupada said the person Bhagavat is more important because he can twist your ear. So actually the book Bhagavat is the basis, more important in that way. But the person Bhagavat is more important because he can twist your ear. It means he'll directly guide and to help you to get free from the troublesome things within the heart. He may give some pressure also. Twist your ear, it's not a very pleasant experience. So the twisting of the ear may not be physically, but by the speaking. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the only duty of the sadhu is to cut out all the dirty things, all the material attachments from within the heart by the method of speaking unpleasant words. Because to cut the material attachments, it's like, it might be compared to performing an operation without anesthesia. There's no anesthesia in spiritual discussion. Facts should be spoken as they are. So in this way, the book Bhagavat, or the person Bhagavat, is more important, because the book is a passive agent. We can read the book and think, well, okay, all right, and not take it very seriously. But the person Bhagavat makes us take it seriously. Or we may just skip out the parts we don't like. Or we think, well, the Madhurya is the essence of Bhagavatam, so we'll just read that part. No need to read the other parts. Or we may read the other parts and just the things we don't like will file away in our mind and not, all right, we won't think about that. Just like in Vrindavan, so many places there are these professional Bhagavata reciters. And they advertise Shuddha Bhagavat Katha. Means they only speak on the Leelas. They don't speak all the other parts of Bhagavata. This is actually very offensive to advertise this as Shuddha Bhagavat Katha, as if the parts of the Bhagavatam which they which are not very popular, that is ashuddha or impure. So from their very concept is impure. Their own concept is impure, because they think that hearing about Krishna Leela is pure, but hearing some of the things that Krishna says, such as yasya asti buddhi kunape tvidhaduke svadhikala tradishu bhoma idjadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhi jid janeshvabhigyeshu sa eva gokara. One who identifies this body as the self, who thinks of the place of his birth as being worshipable, who goes to a holy place but doesn't hear from the holy people, then such a person is no better than a cow or an ass, or an ass among cows. No better than a cow means the cow goes to the holy place and drinks the water. So if we just drink the water or take bath in the water, but we don't hear, then we're no more intelligent than an animal. So he may say, well, I'm hearing, Shuddha Bhakti Bhagavat Katha. But this Bhagavat should be recited all the way from beginning to end. Because if we think that we shall simply hear the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna without having the inauspicious things removed from the heart, then we will misunderstand. Therefore, before artha pravritti, or entrance into that which is of our, that which is the actually desirable thing, there has to be anartha nivritti. So these anarthas within the heart, they have to be removed by hearing. We may think this is not Shuddha Bhagavad Gita, because it doesn't feel very, doesn't seem very nice. But that is Shuddha, even though we would think that that which is Shuddha should be very nice. But there are so many statements in Bhagavatam. Nunam pramatakra, what is that? Nayam deho deho bhajam riloke kashtan kaman arhate virbujam ye. Tapo devyam putraka yena sadvab should yet yasmad brahma sokyam tunanta. That Rishabdev, his first instructions to his sons, don't live like cats, dogs and hogs, stool eaters, simply interested in sense gratification. As Prabhupada would explain graphically often, that what is the life of the pig? Why comparing to the pig? Because they have no discrimination in eating and no discrimination in sex. That even the young baby pig will approach the mother for sex. So, if we don't have the aim of life to become Krishna conscious, then we're living like pigs and dogs that eat stool and have no self-discipline. They don't, unless we perform tapasya, unless we give up this sense gratification. Tapasya meant for tapo divyam. Everyone is performing some tapasya. Hiranyakashipu was the biggest tapasvi in history, but that was not tapo divya. That was not transcendental tapasya. That was meant for some material gain. So, like this, there are so many instructions in Bhagavatam. We could say they are the Bhagavata shlokas that people do not like to hear. They only like to hear the very sweet. But the sweetness of Krishna cannot be appreciated unless one is free from the concept that there is anything sweet in this, anything sweet in existence but Krishna. As long as we are thinking that my wife, my family, my body, these things are also very nice, then these are I like to hear Bhagavad Katha. I also like my home, my family, all these things. These are also sources of pleasure for me. As long as we're in the concept of thinking that anything is enjoyable for me, then we cannot understand Krishna. We can properly understand Krishna when we give up our enjoying mentality. Otherwise, if we hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna with the enjoying mentality, we'll think this is something enjoyable for me to hear. Or we'll think that Krishna consciousness is also another kind of enjoyment for us. Just like the other day someone just came to me and said, we're just in kirtan for 2 hours and we really enjoyed it. I said, then it's all you weren't in kirtan. That was not kirtan. If you are thinking it's enjoyable for me, then that's not kirtan. Enjoyment may be there, but that enjoyment is subservient to Krishna's enjoyment. We have to see how Krishna is pleased. If we think we shall sing very sweetly and very nicely and we shall all enjoy listening to it, then that is not kirtan. Just like all these professional kirtaniers, they sing and everyone likes and they buy the cassette. But that is not kirtan, because it's not for the pleasure of Krishna. We take it for our own pleasure. It's something for our own pleasure. So how is Bhagavatam to be understood? That has to be understood through the viewpoint of the Bhagavatas, which means the same as Krishna's viewpoint, or in line with Krishna's viewpoint. Krishna's viewpoint is that I am God, everything is meant for my enjoyment. That is Krishna's viewpoint. Of course, Krishna, he himself is not he's not a despotic figure. Krishna's always thinking, how my devotees can get pleasure. But the Sahajiyas, they misquote this and say, well, Krishna wants his devotees' pleasure, therefore we should enjoy. We're devotees, we should enjoy ourselves and Krishna will be happy. This is misunderstanding. There's so many misunderstandings. Therefore one has to hear the Bhagavata in its entirety from devotees, and in this way one can be freed from the anartas within the heart which block our understanding of Krishna. And factually speaking, we need to hear those things which were from the beginning. We should hear who is Krishna, what are his wonderful pastimes. But as we see, just like for instance in Prabhupada's lecturing, he emphasized more on speaking about how to understand Krishna, how to understand our position in relationship with Krishna, what are the anartas, mayavad, attachment to sense enjoyment, all these things he would regularly speak on in a cutting manner to remove those anartas within the heart. And regularly, Prabhupada often explained that the word nityam here actually means daily. We have to regularly hear. Regularly means daily. We have to hear all these topics on the matter of sexual attraction. Prabhupada said that this should be regularly discussed in our classes. This is kirtan. So you might think, well, how is that kirtan? It doesn't seem like kirtan. But if approached in the proper manner within the context of Bhagavad philosophy, it is kirtan in as much as it facilitates kirtan, because as long as we are thinking how we can enjoy ourselves in this material world, and enjoyment in this material world, the most binding is that of sexual attraction. So as long as we're thinking in those terms, then we cannot understand Krishna in his terms, which means the terms of enjoyment, Krishna's enjoyment. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So we have to hear regularly, daily, these things have to be discussed. Therefore, Prabhupada gave us this program, early morning, rising, attending Mangal Arati, chanting our rounds, hearing the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada emphasized again and again that these things are essential. Without this, there cannot be any actual Krishna consciousness. So we find here at the beginning of Bhagavatam is stating the necessity of regularly hearing from devotees so that the dirty things can be removed from the heart That means it is required that we apply ourselves to this process. Then the dirty things can be removed from the heart. Then we can actually understand what is the message of Bhagavatam. What is Madhurja? What is the sweetness of Krishna? As long as we're trying to, as long as we're in the jaundiced condition of trying to enjoy that which is not sweet, namely Krishnetara, all things that are considered, those things which are misconceived of outside of a relationship with Krishna, then we cannot, there's no question of actually understanding Krishna, as long as we have this misconception. So Bhagavatam teaches us who is Krishna and also what is not Krishna consciousness. There's nothing which is not Krishna, but that which is conceived of outside of a relationship with Krishna, that very conception is illusion. Ritertam yad pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani yad vidyad chatmanamayam yathabhaso yathatamaha. Krishna himself states that anything that is conceived of outside of a relationship with me, that is illusion. That may appear to be truth, but it is not actual truth. It is like the reflection of truth, it could be said to be, or some reflection that flickers in the darkness. But it's not actual truth. So what is absolute truth? What is relative truth? All these things have to be understood. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Yeah, please.
As you said, during kirtan.
Is there any mic? No? All right, I guess everyone can hear. Other mic? Can everyone hear?
Yeah.
You can all hear? All right, please say.
During kirtan or during any service which we're doing, if we are sincerely trying to do it with the consciousness to please Krishna, but at the same time we do enjoy that service, then it's not bad.
The enjoyment that comes from doing everything with the attitude of doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna, that is actual spiritual enjoyment. That is the natural result of Krishna consciousness. But if we're thinking how I shall enjoy, then that is not Krishna consciousness. If we even become attached to enjoying the spiritual enjoyment that comes from a sense of selflessly serving Krishna, that is also not Krishna consciousness. As in the case we see of Daruka, the servant, charioteer of Krishna, he was fanning Krishna. But by fanning Krishna, he became so overwhelmed with ecstasy that his body became stunned and he couldn't fan anymore. And he thought, no, I don't want this ecstasy because then I can't do my service. So, it is the nature of the living being to be happy. That happiness should be only by seeing what is Krishna's happiness. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us, that Krishna may embrace me or reject me. He may make me happy or unhappy. But under any circumstances, I am always his servant. And this attitude has to be understood.
Satisfying the sense of Lord Krishna, you can get on the prema. How?
Which verse are you referring to?
So our sense, we enjoy our senses, our senses is made calm. But sense is our senses.
Right. Yeah.
How to find out that
That we'll have to see our own heart. Whether are we acting for the pleasure of Krishna or for ourselves. It may be 80% here, 20% there. That we have to see our own heart. Because Maya is very subtle, Maya may take the form of supposing bhakti. We may think I'm doing for Krishna's pleasure, but actually we have so many motives which are not even apparent to ourselves. Labha, what is that? Labha puja pratishtha jata upashakagam. We may be doing something for name and fame, but we're thinking, well, actually it's all for Krishna. It's good if I become famous because then I can preach better. That may be true. But if we become attached to being praised by others, or sometimes it's said that, well, I have to get a good career and a good job and then I'll be well situated in society and then people will respect me when I preach. So that might be true, but it may be also that we're saying that actually to cover up our own material desire to be a material success. So with cheating ourselves by thinking that, well, I just want to get ahead in my career only for the sake of preaching. But actually, it's only for the sake of our own material, fulfilling our own material ambition. So these are just some of many examples of how we can cheat ourselves in the name of bhakti. So we have to be very pure in our motives. Hare Krishna. There's a question coming by writing, is it? Just pass it up. Sometimes people may read those sections of the Bhagavatam what they like. Something lila. And do not read other portions which are not pleasing to them. Similarly, a person, Bhagavat, can also talk with what he likes and sometimes lecture to please the public so that people adore and worship him. How to understand this? You can't understand it because it's not a fact. A person, Bhagavat, never speaks to make the public for popularity or name or fame. And he's not a person, Bhagavat. Then he's just a cheater, that's all. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so many things he said about this. He said that if I speak to please the public, then I cannot serve the truth. The public's not interested in truth. They're interested in entertainment. He said that if because people may not like it, I fail to speak the truth of the Bhagavatam, unadulterated truth, and then I become a cheater and an atheist and an enemy of the Vedas. Become a cheater because you're not speaking the truth which people require to hear. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said that the duty of a preacher is to speak the truth in the most direct and unambiguous manner, not to dress it up with euphemisms. So if one fails to do so, then he's a cheater and an atheist. That means he doesn't actually have faith in the message of Krishna if he's not prepared to speak it. And an enemy of the Vedas, because one is misrepresenting the message of the Vedas. So because people may not like it, that should never be a consideration. One should speak what is the truth without thinking whether people will like it or not. Then we become a servant of the public instead of a servant of Krishna. Then we become like a dancing dog, entertainer. People do all foolish things for entertainment. They go on the stage and they jump around and perform acrobatics and people laugh and they give some money. And this way they make their living. So it's a pathetic existence. So if one simply, in the name of Bhagavatam, puts on a show of being very saintly and speaks, and maybe they'll cry something also. But you're actually just an entertainer, that's all, not a devotee. Real devotee, you can't expect to be very popular. Prabhupada They asked, why you don't, they used to ask Prabhupada, why don't you have so many followers? You see, like this TM, at the same time that so-called Yogi Mahesh Maharshi, whatever his name is, he had his TM, Transcendental Meditation. So they had so many more followers than Prabhupada. So they used to ask, oh, there was this so-called Guru Maharaji was also, came from India at that time. And they said, well, why don't you have so many followers like these? And the Prabhupada said, if you're selling a diamond, you can't expect many customers. If you're selling cheap glass bangles, then so many people may purchase. But we may not expect to find that many sincere people who are willing to accept the truth as it is. So we have to be careful in our Krishna conscious movement also not to dilute the message for the sake of quantity. We want many people to take to Krishna conscious, but then we have to give Krishna consciousness and not a watered down version. Because as soon as we compromise and everything, then it's no longer Krishna consciousness. Then it's no longer Shuddha Bhakti. We could say it's Karma Mishra Bhakti or something like this. But it's not Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti means acting only for the pleasure of Krishna. Even if, and it means giving up all our material attachments and preconceived ideas. So it's actually a very high standard. Hare Krishna.
The person Prabhupada mentioned here is a pure devotee or Uttamadhikari?
Is a pure devotee or Uttamadhikari?
The person Prabhupada mentioned. Which is like,
what's the difference?
Any ordinary person who is just following the decision of his guru can be a person Bhagavad. He was really.
One should follow the Bhagavats, which means the great acharyas. One follows by living according to their instruction, which is non different from Bhagavatam instruction, and repeating the same message as heard from them. Then tadara jastamo bhava kama lavadis. Then one also becomes Bhagavat by this process. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Sivangre Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.